This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining the show. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on with clearance jobs. As we usually do, we try to get a clearance jobs update every once in a while from one of our favorite guests, Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of clearancejobs.com. He's got some interesting stuff to talk to us about the compensation survey that they just, I think, recently released that for 2012 that's going to provide us some insight on salaries and what's going on with the clearance job market right now. Evan, welcome to Fed Access.
Good day, Derek.
Hey, talk to us about this survey. What did you guys do? What were you guys looking at? I mean, what kind of information were you compiling? How'd you go about doing it? And what were some of the results?
Sure. You know, this is our sixth annual compensation survey strictly for security cleared professionals. And, you know, we've been really happy coming up with a survey and adding to it year by year. We've seen this data used by, you know, contractors and government agencies and universities and national labs. And essentially every year we take a period of time out, get the survey out, not just to our audience, but to a wider audience of cleared professionals. And then we dig through the data. It takes us a long time to get through the information. But this year we ended up with about 15,000 responses to the survey, which makes it our largest ever.
And with the people who you're hitting, are you hitting the major corporations like a CSC, SAIC? Are you hitting the smaller defense contractors who are either subcontractors or prime contractors? I mean, are you kind of covering everybody in the clear market?
That's a good question. So, you know, for our survey, we actually go directly to the candidates. So
okay.
We go to those, you know, those cleared professionals, those cleared workers, and we get the data from them. We find that it gives us a wider range of responses. It gives us a little bit more personal data. We can get more anecdotal information from them about things like how they feel about benefits, you know, what types of extra compensation they may be receiving, their thoughts and feelings around relocation and job hunting and job hopping. And it really helps to round out the picture rather than going to a company and just getting data from a database.
Sure. Do you find that when you're talking to the workers, I mean, do you feel like you're getting a lot more of honesty in terms of, and I know you mentioned the anecdotal information, you know, where people are really commenting about, you know, either bonuses or other things like that. Do you feel like you're getting a lot more of an honest look at, you know, what the salaries really are?
You know, not just more honest, but deeper too. You know, if you dig into this compensation survey, you start to pull out a lot of interesting trends. And, you know, essentially you can take a look at something like a willingness of candidates to job hop over the next year, and then dig into that data a little bit deeper and try to figure out who are these people that are most likely to leave the company. Are they entry level? Are they mid-career? Are they more experienced? What clearance level do they hold? Which government agencies may they be working for or supporting? And we find that when we go to the candidates directly, we're able to get that much more, you know, rich and detailed information than we can by, you know, than simply going to a company.
You know, so as we look at it, and you've been doing this for 6 years now, what are some of the changes? I mean, what are you seeing as it relates to some, you know, the positive changes or negative changes that you're seeing in the market right now, especially with clear workers?
Sure. So, you know, I think very different from our previous survey is that cleared professionals as a whole were paid more over the last year than the prior year. And in fact, they actually reported a 5% increase in base pay and a little over 2% increase in total compensation over the past year. So total compensation would be everything beyond base pay. You're looking at overtime, danger pay, some tax-free pay, other types of benefits that would be, you know, beyond that base pay. But looking at these numbers, it's actually quite an increase in cleared worker pay, considering that our last survey had workers reporting a 6% decrease in salaries and a 4% decrease in overall compensation. So, you know, to see that that level of increase is actually something that we found pretty interesting.
You know, what's behind the changes? I mean, in terms of these increases, I mean, what are we looking at right now? I mean, because, you know, we're hearing that things are getting tighter. Is the increase based on kind of clearance level? Is it based on technical skills? I mean, you know, if you're a cyber professional, or is this just across the board, whether you're an administrative assistant who has a clearance, you know, or, I mean, of course, I mean, you know, it varies, but have we seen increases across the board, or is it more for technical?
Well, you know, keep in mind that our last survey, not this one, but the previous one, was the first and only time since we started reporting this since 2006 where a decrease in wages was reported. So a previous survey was the only decrease. If you put it into a little bit more perspective, a recent survey from Robert Half estimates that salaries for white-collar workers, I'm talking non-cleared, just the average workforce, rose about 2.8%. In 2011. So compared to the numbers here, workers with clearance are faring far better than similar non-cleared professionals. As far as the reasons for the increase, I think there's a few reasons we can mention kind of right off the bat as to why there was an overall reported average increase in base pay. This past year, it seemed like it was definitely a good year to be in a senior position with a senior salary. What we found is that cleared high-wage earners also got the largest increases. And compared to our previous survey, a larger majority of candidates reported increases in base pay versus last year, so from 50% to 58%. So we're having more people this go-around report that they actually got an increase in base pay versus the previous year. If you look at the opposite side of the spectrum, the other thing that kind of weighed in heavily as far as the increase is that we had fewer people reporting decreases. So this past year, we had more more people actually saying that they received more, and we actually had less people saying that they received less. So at both ends of the spectrum, it was definitely a lot of movement.
When we talk about kind of the decreases, do you feel that, and maybe this is just based off of the data, but is it a matter of that companies are trying to keep, or did the people who responded get a sense that companies are trying to keep them longer? You know, the market is that, hey, we're trying to retain people, so we're trying to give better salaries, or, I mean, you know, were there any kind of indicators that are coming out about this market?
That's definitely the case. I think that, you know, one of the factors that kind of drove the large increase in that base pay was that about 5% reported. Actually, no, I take that back. Actually, a good number of people reported that they received a 5% increase in pay or more. So if you look at that 2.8% non-cleared national average, there is actually a pretty good portion of people in the cleared world that said that they received a 5% increase over the past year. Now, total compensation increases are due to a number of factors, as you stated, but I think the big one that stuck out was that more cleared professionals reported salary gains simply by switching employers, and that's something we can talk about in more detail if you wish.
Well, definitely. I want to hear about that. As a matter of fact, what we'll do, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, the switching of employers. And I guess that's especially for those who have some, you know, high-level clearances, a TS, SEI with a poly, those who have some high-level skills, maybe cyber or certain computer skills or highly sought-after skill sets. Those people are probably still being kind of catered to and recruited heavily by a lot of cleared contractors, because that's where the money is. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about their recently put out compensation survey of 2012. They've been doing this for 6 years. They've got some good information to provide some insight for the cleared job market. We'll talk about that when we return. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
At Kaiser Permanente, we're about keeping you connected. So we made My Health Manager. It connects you to your doctor, your prescriptions, your test results, and your health records right at home. But what if you aren't home? What if you're visiting family? Or at the beach or on a business trip? What if you're on a steep mountain trail, you know, with loose gravel and one way in and one way out? Now, there's the Kaiser Permanente mobile app. It connects you right from your smartphone. You can email your doctor while visiting family, refill your prescription from the beach, take your medical records on a business trip, or schedule, say, a little checkup from that steep trail. No matter where you are, we'll keep you connected without keeping you from any of life's adventures. Get the app by searching Kaiser Permanente in the Android market or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. Coming soon to the Apple App Store, Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
To win and deliver government health care contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Moreover, with over 900 health care IT initiatives proposed in the 2013 federal budget, you need to begin building your health care IT teams now. Meet Tech Systems. Every year, Tech Systems deploys thousands of IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems Government Services offers a dedicated healthcare division to deliver practical healthcare IT solutions to the federal, state, and local government. No matter where you are on your meaningful use journey, Tech Systems can guide you through the transition. From providing managed services that tailor end-user training by role and workflow, to providing BI solutions that get you closer to your quality care goals. Tech Systems, our people make IT possible. Learn more at TechSystems.com, TekSystems.com.
Military families make great sacrifices so that we can be safe, secure, and free. That's why we at United Health Military and Veteran Services are so honored to have been selected to serve families in the TRICARE West region starting in April 2013. United Healthcare serves over 78 million Americans nationwide. We have the experience and expertise to make healthcare better for our servicemen and women and their families. United Healthcare's expansive network provides access to hundreds of thousands of physicians and specialists. We focus on making it possible for healthcare teams to work together and share important information about your care. And at United Healthcare, we use innovative technologies to make sure you get the right care from the right doctor for your needs. Military families help keep us safe. So at United Healthcare, helping military families isn't just a job, it's an honor. To learn more, visit unitedhealthmilitary.com.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're having a real interesting conversation about what's going on with the salaries in the cleared job market. Recently, the ClearanceJobs.com released their compensation survey of 2012, talking about what's happening with all the salaries. They take a unique perspective and have the cleared workers provide information about their survey. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's a Clearance Jobs founder and director, and he's on the line with us right now. Evan, keep on going. We were talking about, you know, the dynamics of people changing jobs and able to get these increases, you know, based on possibly changing jobs. You know, talk to us more about that. What was going on?
Well, you know, we looked at it a little bit more closely. We wanted to make sure that we understood exactly who we were talking to, and this is something that, we do on a regular basis. We take a look at whether the person reporting was a cleared contractor or a cleared government employee. And cleared contractors actually reported a 5.1% increase in base pay, which is definitely better than, government employees. I think that while most government employees had a mandated pay freeze, you know, you can't forget that military service members with clearance got a mandated pay increase. But government workers noted about a 4.2% base pay jump, definitely respectable, but not quite at that 5.1 level of contractors. If you think about it, in our previous survey, you know, government contractors actually made out the best. Their base pay was completely flat, didn't go up or down. And this survey, showing the 5.1% increase, really kind of helped us understand what was going on between contractors and government and employees.
You know, with all of that, as we look at this market and people who have these active security clearances and even people who are coming out the military, you know, is this a good market for those who are coming out the military who have these clearances? I mean, you know, where are we? And this is kind of going into maybe some hiring issues, but on salaries, we're seeing increases. But are we also seeing an increase possibly on some hiring? Have we gotten past the moment where things are just kind of shrunken down? What's happening with that?
Well, you know, being in an election year and having the DOD budgets in a little bit of flux, I think that considering those two items, we've actually seen quite a lot of hiring going on. You know, you asked a minute ago about changing jobs, and I think that movement of candidates between jobs is a good indicator as to opportunity and how contractors are willing to pay for it. When we took a look at those government contractors, we actually saw that 20% of the contractors who answered our survey cited that just changing employers was the main reason for their increase in compensation. And that really points to the fact that you've got a job seekers market where they can command higher salaries, they can move between employers with relative ease, and at the same time get an increase in compensation.
You know, with all of that, as we look at, you know, because I'm thinking about, you know, certain people who have a different skill sets or different kind of levels of clearances. And, you know, we talk about people have polys versus people who have non-polys. What are you seeing about, of course, as a clearance level goes higher, it's going to be maybe more money associated with that. But is that the case? I mean, are people with polygraphs, are they the ones who are very much so sought after? Are they getting 10, 20,000? I mean, what's the range maybe from a secret clearance to top secret SEI to top secret SEI with a poly?
Sure. Well, you know, polygraph candidates are obviously some of the most highly sought after. But for the first time in our 6 years of running the survey, the average pay for a cleared worker with any level of polygraph has hit six figures average nationwide.
Okay.
And I think this is kind of reflective of the drumbeat that we hear daily on clearancejobs.com, that candidates with polygraphs are voraciously sought after. Many times in the D.C. area, it's all about the NSA. And it's a relatively tiny talent pool. So, you know, this is definitely the type of thing that keeps our eyes open. You asked about how this might affect hiring and employment. Specifically for candidates with a full scope polygraph, they're actually 17% more likely to change jobs in the next year than not. And that's a fairly high number considering how small that talent pool is and how highly coveted those workers are.
I mean, are you seeing that these people with the polys, and I guess, you know, based on what you're seeing, are you seeing these people, do they know how marketable they are? Do they know that, hey, listen, if I keep myself on clearancejobs.com and maybe kind of keep my resume or my profile open, then I'm going to have recruiters hitting me all the time with different kind of offers? Is that what they're doing? Or, you know, I mean, what's going on with the recruitment of these people, especially for them trying to get more money? Is it more about these people know they're marketable, so I'm going to keep myself out there and try to get the highest bidder?
I would say that's the case. You know, candidates with polygraphs and tech skills or engineering skills, especially, you know, they know what their value is. They get, you know, more than their fair share of calls and contacts from recruiters, and it's, you know, it's simply a supply and demand thing. It's a small talent pool. The credentials are hard to get. And you know, those folks are definitely in control of their careers. What it does kind of come down to is the fact that employers are generally willing to pay and are willing to overlook the fact that a candidate may have left their last job 6 months prior or 4 months prior. Many, many years ago, that would have been a big red flag. But at this point, considering the need for polygraph candidates, employers are generally willing to overlook it.
You know, that asks an interesting question. Are we seeing some, and did you get this from the survey, are we seeing some unique perks being provided for these candidates? I mean, you know, there was one time where the job market for tech workers was so hot that, you know, companies were allowing them to do certain things, or they had a cafeteria, they had, you know, you could sleep at the job, or you had all these little interesting perks. Are we seeing that for cleared workers now, because it is, they're so sought after?
Most definitely. I think if you look at the history, as you mentioned, around 2001 to 2006, it was truly a job seeker's market. You know, you might remember some, you know, hefty signing bonuses, car raffles, immediate 401k vesting, a lot of crazy stuff. That kind of stopped for a while, and employers, I think, were back in command over compensation for cleared candidates. Now I'd say things are shifting back in the other direction to the candidate's favor. Here's the bombshell. It's 22% of the surveyed cleared workers that we talked to said that they're either likely or very likely to change employers in the next year. And to make matters worse, of those 22% that said that they were very likely to change employers, it's not entry-level or junior candidates who said they're likely moving to another employer. It's highly paid, highly skilled, tenured workers. In fact, the higher the pay, the higher the percentage of candidates that said that they are looking for a new job soon. So that's definitely something that companies should keep in mind and really pay attention to retention of those candidates.
I mean, do you see a trend going, you know, maybe for the, I mean, are we back on the upswing again? You know, I mean, that's good news. I mean, I'm happy to hear that. But are we back on the upswing again in terms of it really being a job seeker's market? I mean, well, a job seeker who has, you know, certain skills and talents and maybe clearance levels, you know, that's a good sign. Are we back on that page again?
Well, you know, a lot of this has to do with the influence of the NSA and what's going on at Fort Meade,
okay.
Especially in cybersecurity.
Okay.
You know, the candidates working up there all require high-level clearance and, you know, for the most part, polygraph. With the government's heavy emphasis on cybersecurity, I think that what we're seeing is more and more positions opening that require higher-level clearance. So is it a job seeker's market? It really is if they have a higher-level clearance, and especially a poly. At the secret or confidential level, obviously they're going to earn more than non-cleared people, but the demand for folks at the lower levels has decreased, whereas the demand for the folks at the higher levels have increased. And that is simply, again, a supply and demand issue, and it's going to make the candidates have the ability to change employers and get a salary increase at the same time. So it's definitely putting the emphasis on the candidate at this point.
You know, Evan, I want to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, and you definitely described it, but maybe want to even get into some numbers so people can understand, you know, because you mentioned about the six figures, but maybe if we can get into some numbers based on clearances, but then also based on kind of occupations, you know, where you mentioned about some senior level people who are being sought after, but maybe even and cyber people are being sought after. But are we also looking at project managers? Are we also looking at maybe certain kind of engineers? Are we also looking at, you know, other people who have certain skill sets? And then, you know, what were they reporting as it relates to their salaries? And also, let's look at maybe salaries based on location. I want to talk about that when we come back. Sounds good.
Sounds good.
We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. If you are a cleared worker, you need to go to ClearanceJobs.com. They have a lot of interesting tools. We'll have Evan talk about that before the show is ending. But they just recently had a compensation survey of 2012, and we're talking about that right now. Some interesting data came out of that survey. The cleared workers fill this out, not necessarily getting the data from the employers. We have the workers filling this out in order to try to provide some good information about what they are receiving in terms of salaries, bonuses, any kind of benefits, and everything else. You're listening to Fed Access. We'll be right back after this break.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Reusing government personal property can save taxpayers millions of dollars. It's also a requirement that federal agencies acquire excess personal property first before purchasing new items. If you're wondering how to acquire excess personal property or transfer your agency's excess personal property, turn to GSA at gsa.gov/reusecmp. GSA offers programs and online tools such as GSA Access to help reuse and recycle items ranging from office equipment and furniture to computers, scientific devices, heavy machinery, airplanes, boats, and much more. Let GSA help you get the most out of the government's resources while saving money and protecting the environment. Remember, when you no longer need it, someone else does. For more information on reusing and recycling your excess personal property, visit GSA at gsa.gov/reusecmp. gsa.gov/reusecmp. That's gsa.gov/reusecmp.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
You know, choosing how you listen to radio is important. If you don't visit HDRadio.com, you won't learn about the new local HD2, HD3 radio stations. If you don't hear the new local HD2, HD3 stations, you won't hear everything you should. If you don't hear everything you should, you won't understand what your friends are talking about. To understand what your friends are talking about, visit HDRadio.com to learn about HD radio receivers like the Pioneer DEH44 HD, now only $120 at Walmart.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Fly a kite and you get a good feel for how much force can be created by a lightweight aircraft. That's the idea behind a new system for getting power from wind. Winds are generally stronger and more consistent further from the ground. So Makani Power is launching propeller-controlled aircraft to tap that energy. Mechanical engineer Corwin Hardam is their CEO.
The thing that is different with our aircraft is ours is tied to the ground with a flexible tether, and that energy gets piped down the tether to the ground.
And one day, to the grid. It's a computer-guided kite engineered to fly itself in a nearly circular path.
Because that's one of the most effective paths for generating energy.
Hardam says the system is about 90% lighter than conventional wind turbines and can be more easily installed in a wider range of locations.
We expect to be cost competitive with the cheapest of the fossil fuel energy sources.
For more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about the compensation survey of 2012 that ClearanceJobs.com just finished, and they've got some interesting information about what's going on with salaries. I mean, some good information that it seems there's an uptick in terms of salaries. There's an uptick in terms of maybe some hiring. There's an uptick in terms of providing of bonuses and benefits for certain workers who have certain clearances and certain skill sets. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com, and he's going to give us a more of a breakdown of what's happening. Evan, when we look at the numbers, maybe kind of break it down by maybe positions. You know, if you're a project manager, a senior person, if you're a cyber person, if you're a systems engineer, what are we seeing in terms of the numbers with salaries and things that are coming out?
Well, you know, I think as we dug into the data a little bit deeper, we found that, not too surprisingly, technology workers really carried the gains as far as what was going on over the past year. So in 2011, the average total compensation for a cleared technology worker was a little over $97,000, which is a 9.0% year-over-year increase in base pay, and about a 4.2% increase year-over-year in total compensation. For the non-tech workers, their average total compensation was a little over $88,000. So you can definitely see the difference between the two. Furthermore, the increase in total compensation and base pay between a tech worker and a non-tech worker was dramatic. So we saw non-tech workers reporting a year-over-year increase in average base pay of under 3%, whereas for tech workers, it was 9%. So It really is kind of showing the heavy emphasis on security clearance jobs for tech professionals. If you dig in a little bit deeper, you know, we took a little bit of a closer look at information security candidates, folks that are definitely coveted for Cyber Command and almost every agency at this point. And what we found is that the average total compensation was almost $97,000 for information security professionals with clearance. And that's a whopping almost 14% increase in base pay over the past year, and about a 7.5% increase in total compensation over the past year, easily the highest across the board. So if you look at the base pay of information security workers with clearance, 14% base pay year-over-year increase really kind of reflects what's going on in that industry.
Wow. With that being the case, and of course I'm not trying to push anybody towards any kind of career, but do you see that being a trend? I mean, this whole information security dynamic, are we talking about a trend that's going to be here for the next 5, 10 years? Is this a good place to kind of, if you had to put a bet on some money, is this a good place to bet your money or bet your career that this is where you should start emphasizing, getting some skills in?
You know, workers know that it's huge, and companies do too. Most of the major acquisitions of companies in the past few years, especially in the D.C. area, it always has the word cybersecurity in it. There's companies that are specialized in some aspect of cybersecurity. One of the things that we did take a look at for cleared professionals in this compensation survey is, what are the most common certifications that they're holding? And not surprisingly, a Security Plus certification, which is one that the DoD says is appropriate, was the number one most commonly cited certification. We did see program management towards the top, network administration towards the top. CISSP is a little bit of an older security certification, but still in demand. But really, the top five most commonly cited certifications really focused on security for networks.
You know, are we looking at a dynamic where people and are we looking at a dynamic where people who are getting these certifications Are some of these people bringing them in and getting them cleared, or they're definitely looking for that cleared worker who's either coming out of the military or coming out of the government or somehow, some way got their clearance? I mean, what are we seeing in terms of the trend? And then with that, are we looking at, you know, a person, if they do get a certification, maybe coming out of school, you know, of course, it's more entry level. Are they still commanding, you know, higher salaries because those certifications are just that sought after?
You know, when you take a look at it, I think that the entry-level tech professionals, especially in cybersecurity, if they have a clearance, obviously they're going to be much more ready and good to go. We can definitely take a look and discuss at overall clearance processing time. We do ping candidates for that information to see from the boots on the ground level how clearance processing times may have helped. But, you know, I wouldn't necessarily... At least having a cybersecurity skill is a golden ticket, but when you combine cybersecurity certifications with clearance, you've definitely got the kind of the 1-2 punch that makes someone almost guaranteed a good local job.
You know, when we look at the locations and start looking around about where these salaries are upticking and maybe people are commanding the highest salaries. And I know even where you are right now, I know you're in Iowa right now. And you know, we talked about these jobs diversifying into other places. What are we seeing in terms of location? Are we seeing, you know, the East Coast? Are we seeing the West Coast? Are we seeing the Midwest? What are we talking about in terms of location? And also, what are we seeing with that, with the salaries?
Well, you know, Derek, not surprisingly, Maryland actually topped the list of highest paid workers,
okay.
Security cleared workers. Maryland was actually fourth in our last survey, behind Virginia, D.C., and even New Jersey. In 2009, Maryland was even behind Colorado. So this time around, Maryland's squarely at the top of the list.
And that's because of the NSA, right? That's because of the NSA work that a lot of the cybersecurity and all these contractors have, a lot of these contractor companies have now surrounded NSA in that Anne Arundel County area.
Precisely. You know, considering what's going on at the NSA and its contractors, I don't think we were very surprised to see Maryland at the top of this year's list. It's pretty common knowledge at this point that Maryland remains the state with the most polygraphed workers in the United States. Others in the top five showed some gains, but nowhere near what respondents told us about compensation gains in Maryland. Some of the other kind of dramatic movements would be, you know, looking at a state like New Jersey. I think if you ever wanted to see, Derek, the kind of poster child for the effect of BRAC on compensation, you really don't have to look any further than New Jersey. Although they're still number four on our on top 10 list, I don't think they're going to be there for long. When Fort Monmouth closed this past fall, a really large number of skilled, highly paid engineers with clearance either moved out of state or retired. And, you know, we're talking candidates that are software engineers, computer scientists, program management, electrical and mechanical engineers. You know, I think the most recent numbers we saw showed that about 70% of workers from Fort Monmouth actually relocated from New Jersey. And what we saw on the compensation side is that total compensation in New Jersey just dropped like an anchor, a bit over 11% decrease in the past year.
With and you know, you just kind of mentioned BRAC, and some people have talked about there may be another BRAC, and you know, where like Maryland was a benefactor of BRAC, so to say, possibly now we see the drawbacks of BRAC and sometimes base closures and things like that. What about areas that are not as common, like places like where you're at, you know, Iowa, Utah, other places like, you know, down south, in the south? Are we seeing any increases of contractors moving out that way, you know, cheaper cost of living, Alabama and other places like that? Are we seeing also higher salaries being given, even though the cost of living, are people still making those six-digit salaries, or are the salaries, you know, based on cost of living?
Sure. Yeah. If you look at regions, which is something that we definitely do, I think the largest year-over-year compensation increase was kind of welcomed by the South Central United States. A lot of that increase, I think, has to do with Huntsville, Alabama. You know, they're booming aerospace and defense business. And as you mentioned, BRAC, Huntsville was one of the bigger gainers from the overall BRAC process. Other places, cleared workers in Texas, they reported some pretty big gains, about a 6% increase in total compensation over the past year, and 11% increase in base pay, so well above average. But I think, you know, when you take a look at some of these areas, there are, in many cases, some specific things that can really point to why compensation and salaries of cleared workers could go up and down. In Texas, I think that the wage windfall could possibly come crashing down if the F-35 fighter jet program gets canceled. You know, Fort Worth, Lockheed Martin go really, you know, hand in hand, but this F-35 program is overcost by as much as $1 billion, and lawmakers are definitely looking for budget cuts. So the potential for a program like that is really large, but if you remove it, I think we're going to see compensation, especially in a place like Texas, drop significantly. Lots of interesting changes in Metro D.C. as well.
You know, let's talk about that. Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk about – I do want to talk about the dynamic of there has been a lot of changes with the aerospace piece. I mean, where cyber is increasing, we're seeing maybe some declines, like you mentioned, in some fighter programs and everything else. I want to know, does that have an impact on the hiring of engineers? I mean, are we starting to see some concern in that market? And then, you know, where do those people go? Or, you know, is there something else out there looming that these people can jump into, you know, with their clearances and everything else? I want to talk about that when we return. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. They're a site for clear workers where they can post their resume, they can find jobs, they can network, they can talk to possible recruiters. So if you have anything from a confidential to a top secret SEI, top secret poly, and everything else, then you should get on there and put your resume on there, because you can find some good stuff and find some good work. We're talking to him about their compensation survey 2012. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Adobe Acrobat Pro is actually used very commonly for PDF archiving. If you've got a lot of files of different formats and different types, if you just save these files in all these different formats, then 20 years later, somebody wants to look at the file, they'd actually have to have the program that could open up that file. So for digital archiving, you'd rather have a standardized file format.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 260 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, what does your company do, John? My company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations that have programs for conformity assessment, accreditation, standards, and policy management. Is your agency responsible for conformity assessment? If so, then please visit our website, armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. It's the time for baseball and the beach, concerts and cookouts, and nothing says summer more than the buzz of a mosquito. But you don't have to let a few annoying bites ruin your fun.
A topical steroid and some local application of ice would be the appropriate way to go.
Dr. Marion McAvoy, a dermatologist at Mayo Clinic, says immediate application of both can erase your symptoms. Antihistamines can also help with the itching. While most bites are just a nuisance, some people can have severe reactions to stings and bites.
If you've been stung by a bee, and if you have other symptoms such as difficulty breathing or difficulty swallowing, swelling of your lips or tongue, you need to go straight to the emergency room.
Of course, it's best just to keep the bugs away. For that, Dr. McAvoy recommends a bug spray that contains DEET and wearing clothing that's appropriate for the situation. For more information, talk to your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth here on 1500 AM every Saturday at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, George Cranwell, president of GE Cranwell & Associates, and my partner, John Dedon, to talk about the Arlington real estate market. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis, Foodie and the Beast, Sunday, May 6th. Join us live at 11 as Foodie and the Beast dives way deep into the Chef Wars at Pearl Dive, Jeff Black's hot new restaurant on 14th Street. Pearl Dive's a hell of a seafood restaurant, but that Sunday, Jeff is challenging some of D.C.'s finest chefs to a chicken fried steak contest. Say what? Bertrand Barley's Kyle Bailey, Michelle Richard, The Source's Scott Druneau, Victor Albizu, and Bourbon Steak's Adam Sobel will take on Jeff as our esteemed panel of judges decides the winner and you enjoy libations and great taste from Pearl Dive. For tickets and info, visit pearldivedc.com.
To win and deliver government health care contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Moreover, with over 900 healthcare IT initiatives proposed in the 2013 federal budget, you need to begin building your healthcare IT teams now. Meet Tech Systems. Every year, Tech Systems deploys thousands of IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems Government Services offers a dedicated healthcare division to deliver practical healthcare IT solutions to the federal, state, and local government. No matter where you are on your meaningful use journey, Tech Systems can guide you through the transition, from providing managed services that tailor end-user training by role and workflow, to providing BI solutions that get you closer to your quality care goals. Tech Systems, our people make IT possible. Learn more at techsystems.com, T-E-K-Systems.com.
Registration is now open for the all-new Management of Change event, featuring interactive sessions around cloud, mobility, and security, and a future technology expo, June 3rd through 5th at the Hyatt Regency, Cambridge, Maryland. This government industry training forum is hosted by the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Register and learn more at actgov.org/managementofchange. That's actgov.org/managementofchange.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having an interesting conversation about the compensation survey of 2012 that's been conducted by ClearanceJobs.com. They went out, talked to about 1,500 cleared workers in this market and asked them questions about what salaries were they receiving, what kind of benefit, what kind of bonuses were they receiving in terms of the market. Some interesting news, uptick in terms of salaries, an uptick in terms of some hiring out there for certain cleared workers with certain kind of cleared backgrounds and professions and technical skills. Evan, talk to us about, you mentioned about the D.C. market. About maybe there's some changes that's going on in the D.C. market. We know about Maryland, and Maryland has a definitely upswing in terms of clear professionals because of NSA and also salaries. But what's happening maybe D.C., Virginia, as we go a little bit south?
Sure. You know, it was actually 15,000 candidates that we talked to, and while D.C. makes up—
Oh, wow, I'm sorry about that, 15,000. Okay, yeah.
Sure. No, yeah, I think while D.C. makes up a pretty good portion, what we tend to try to do is get down to as much as a macro level as we can. So we're always taking a look at Arlington and Fairfax, and there's this battle going on between the two counties as to who can draw the most companies, who can create the best workspaces, and who can have the most cleared workers that are living in those areas. So in our previous survey results, Arlington and Fairfax counties were fairly equal in base pay, but this year we saw Fairfax jump way ahead with a 12% pay gap reported between Fairfax and Arlington workers. You know, Fairfax and Fairfax City was home to $28 billion in DOD contracts in 2010. $28 billion is a lot for one county, and that doesn't include dollars from other cleared agencies like the intel agencies, the DOE, DHS, and others. So Fairfax County security cleared professionals reported average total compensation of almost $105,000. So quite an increase. But I think where Fairfax County cleared workers are some of the highest paid in Metro D.C. What we found is that their job satisfaction is actually quite low. Job dissatisfaction is up, and concerns about project funding and job loss are higher than ever.
That's an interesting piece to look at. Is that just because of the concerns, or is that because of traffic? You know, you had the Mark Center. You had a lot of the, you know, congestion. I mean, you know, in Virginia more than probably Maryland, you've got a lot of other dynamics in terms of maybe quality of life. Are you seeing both the concern about the jobs and maybe maintaining and keeping a job, as well as quality of life being the issues where there's that dissatisfaction?
Well, we can definitely talk about quality of life in a little bit. I think we pulled out some interesting results that talk about benefits. But as far as Metro DC goes, the concerns about project loss or funding loss is something that we've seen increase over the past year. And in the face of budget cuts and being in an election year, we're not entirely surprised about that, but there's definitely a warning for D.C. area employers. We actually found that 22% of cleared Metro D.C. workers were either likely or very likely to change jobs in the next year. So, you know, again, it's a job seeker's market, and companies really have to ask themselves, you know, what are they doing to keep those valuable employees happy and you know, paying attention to retention of those candidates. I think on the positive side, though, Derek, we saw that about 42% of security clearance holders in Metro DC say that they were not at all likely to change employers in the next year. So, you know, a little bit on the scary side, but 42% being fairly planted was a good number.
You know, with all of that, and that's a good signal for employers who definitely want to retain people. But are you seeing, you know, what are you seeing in terms of the numbers? Because you're also seeing the hiring numbers. Are the concerns about job loss, are the concerns about project loss, you know, is it more hype or is it real? Is that something that is really, really happening? Or are you really kind of saying, hey, you know, things are starting to stabilize. We haven't seen as much of a shifting. Some projects are going to go away, but there's still a good amount of jobs out there and still a good amount of hiring. Where are we at on this?
Well, I think, you know, the candidates that talk to us, I think their overall sentiment is a bit better than last year, even in the face of defense budget cuts and possible sequestration. We actually saw that 8% fewer cleared D.C. area workers cited concern about projects being canceled than in previous years. You know, there are pockets of places where the concern has increased, but D.C. In general, the region in general, there's a little bit less concern right now than there was for a previous year. What's also interesting is that we noted that about 63% of cleared candidates who answered our survey in Metro D.C. were willing to relocate, whether it be across the Potomac or across the country. So, you know, a lot of the employers we talk to who are trying to find candidates outside of D.C., it's definitely a place to target folks because they have a relatively easier time selling their homes, and they're highly paid enough to reload themselves.
As we start trying to talk about maybe the job search, and it sounds as if there's some good news out there and you know, some average news out there. But when we look at the cleared worker and the job search, I mean, what recommendations would you give, Evan, you know, as we kind of have to wrap it up shortly, but what recommendation would you give to the cleared worker right now in terms of the job search, and what should they be doing maybe over the next several months?
Well, you know, I think two things I wanted to touch on really quickly. I think the first is that when we talk to candidates about final clearance award times, you know, the government has come out recently and stated that there's definitely been improvements in the end-to-end clearance processing timeline, and that is definitely something that we saw from candidates. But when you look at the motivations of cleared professionals, we actually saw some pretty interesting things with regards to benefits. You know, these folks definitely get the most standard benefits of health care and 401k. About 85% get disability insurance, and a pretty large percentage, 60%, get stock options. What was interesting about cleared professionals is that they listed telecommuting and telework options as being the number one ranked most popular benefit before health insurance, before disability, even before stock options.
Wow.
So as far as candidates go, you know, we're encouraging them to make their voice known with regards to telework. For cleared people, telework is definitely a difficult thing, but with technology improving and the conversation revolving around telework centers, I think that cleared people should make their voices known if that's something that is appealing to them.
Thank you so much, Evan. We're going to catch up with you soon in the next couple months because there's always good information, and I want to hear more about the trends and everything else. And so when we catch up with you, we'll talk a lot more about, you know, trends and clearance job features, and also maybe what the job search candidate should be doing right now, whether it be resumes, career fairs, and everything else as we get a better sense of this market going into the summer. Thank you so much, Evan, for always giving us some good information. The clearance jobs compensation survey can be found where?
ClearanceJobs.com/salary.
Got it. Thank you, Evan. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.